I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular.
Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional coach, making sure that your life, all of it, personal and professional, are nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Michelle Chappell. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jody.
Thanks for being on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's great. All right, let me tell you something about Michelle. Dr. Michelle Chappell is a Princeton PhD psychologist, world-acclaimed musician, transformative career coach, and top business consultant for companies such as Google and Intel. She specializes in showing people how to reclaim their hidden superpowers and succeed in life and work as their full, authentic selves. After discovering she could sing and write songs, she left a career as an award-winning psychology professor to become a rock star with over 1 million fans and followers. Her songs has topped overseas and U.S. college radio charts and aired on ABC, HBO, Encore, and Showtime. As the CEO of Creativity Rockstar Coaching and Consulting, she's helped thousands of people find their purpose, claim their power, and live the life they're born to lead. Her music and work have been featured in the Washington Post, TechCrunch, Psychology Today, Science of Mind, WorldNews.com, and Change.org. All right, Michelle, that is quite the bio. That's wonderful. And you've just written a book called The Power of Authenticity. And I loved it. I enjoyed it. I think there's a lot out there for people. So tell me, you know, what was the passion behind writing the book and then being on this coaching journey?
I think it started with my own journey and realizing that I wasn't doing what I was really meant to do. So I don't know how far you want me to go back, but when I was very young, 4 years old, I could play the piano with both hands as if I'd been classically trained, but nobody in my family noticed. I would do this at friends' houses and they would see it, but my parents didn't. And I'm telling you this for a reason, because everybody goes through something like this. And because nobody noticed, I begged for a piano and never got it. I just forgot that that was part of who I was. I was very musical. And so later when I was at Princeton studying to get my doctorate in psychology, someone came to give a talk on music perception. And part of that talk involved playing pairs of melodies. And we just had to say if they were the same or different. And I just remember thinking, this is so easy. I mean, la, 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 same, you know? And I just thought, we're at Princeton. Maybe, I don't know, this should be harder. But, and then they took the score of everyone in the room afterwards, and I outscored everyone, other graduate students, professors, a dean who had studied classical violin for 10 or 20 years. I can't remember which it was. So, I mean, I paid attention to that, but then I forgot again and played it safe and became a professor, but it would not leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, after a while, I had to pick up the guitar. I started writing songs, and I would do it like in my off hours, and then I joined a band, And then we got a following. And then I was like professor by day and a rock star by night. And I finally took the leap to go for it full time. So I like telling that story because what happened to me, because I'm a good teacher, later I realized, oh my goodness, if I can find a gift I didn't know I had, and I'm a good teacher, maybe I can help other people do that too. And so the book is a collection of stories of people I've worked with over the years. And I just want to get their stories out and get the message out.
Yeah, and not only stories, but I love that you have exercises, you have things to think about. There's such inspiration and encouragement for folks who, like you had in the book. You just felt something was missing. You were doing glorious work. I mean, you were a professor, you were successful, but something was missing and you weren't happy.
Yeah.
So, this kind of book, and again, your coaching could really help people find out what that is.
Right. Yeah. And I just wanted to clarify, I loved my students. I did. I loved being a professor, but I just couldn't see myself doing it for the rest of my life. And I could just see the journey ahead of, like I could see where it was going, and I knew I couldn't stay on that path and be true to myself. So I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like being a professor.
Yeah.
I loved it, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, and in the book, and we'll get back to that because you do point out work versus, a calling versus a career, and those are all great distinctions. But I love what you told your students, and that was to follow your heart, their hearts. And what finally pushed you over to take that risk? I mean, to say, I'm stopping, I'm gonna follow music. And that's a big risk because it's a tough world out there, the entertainment business.
It is. It really is. That is such a good question. I want to give you a good answer. So let me think about that for a moment. I think I would go to practices at night and I would feel so alive and so just full of purpose. And I was getting better and better and better and better and better. You know what I mean? And my voice was much stronger than I thought it was. And I think what happened is I was a very good teacher, but I was no longer getting better and better and better at it. I had sort of peaked at it, but this thing, it just completely enveloped me because, do you know what I mean? Like I was feeling like I was getting bigger. And there's something about, there's a guy named James Hollis. He's a Jungian analyst, but he says, you know when you're on the right path when it enlarges you. And you know when you're on the wrong path when it makes you feel small. And I feel like maybe what it was is I just felt like I was becoming a bigger version of myself. And it was just so intriguing. How could I not do that? And so that became more interesting to me than all of the fellow professors who were looking at me like I was insane. And they did. Somehow just, and plus we had a following, so we were liked, you know.
You couldn't ignore that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And, I love in the book, you have lots of these inspirational quotes. You refer back to your training, and there's a lot of Jungian information. And I love it because, you bring in Jungian work, which combines psychological research, music therapy techniques, and shadow work to activate both sides of your brain. This is from the book. So you can access your latent gifts and become the person you were born with. So there's a fair amount of psychology in here. And, it's also a way to look at What is stopping you and what's blocking you and what are those negative voices that say no to, again, I'm going to say something as brave as music. And I'm going to just talk about family roles blocking you, hiding parts of ourself that are not socially acceptable, and just being so socialized about what's taught us. That is so true. Have you seen that time and time again? And I know the book is about this, but in just a quick summary, how do you get people to get out of that?
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. So basically, what I have been seeing, no two people are alike, not even twins. I do believe that we come into this world with a unique purpose and unique gifts. But as we're growing up, we are shamed or ignored or criticized for some of those gifts. And so we sort of take them and we stuff them down and we forget about them. So my job has been to educate people that that happens in the first place. And then to start, one thing that really helps, I have to be honest with you, is just sharing stories of people who have made breakthroughs. It's n nothing like a role model to help you see through it. But I educate people about how you might lose yourself to a family role. So maybe you're the peacemaker because your parents always fought and you became a therapist later in life, but maybe that's not really who you are. That role was something that you took on to deal with that difficult environment that you grew up in, but maybe it's not who you are anymore. So I teach them about the roles and then I teach them to challenge the roles and then the societal expectations. So the more they learn about that and the more they hear other people's stories, that I would say those are the two things that really wake people up the fastest.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Finally being aware of what's coming up for you, especially around taking a risk. You know, that's when it's going to come up. Not doing something you're used to being good at, you're used to being recognized, but when you try something new, that's when the voices start chattering.
Yes, they do. That's your
So,
inner critic, and it's trying to keep you safe, but it's really just trying to keep you stuck just where you are. Because if you think about it, if somebody shamed you for drawing, maybe a teacher said, that that was a bad drawing of a horse or whatever, and then that old gift that you stuffed down for drawing starts to bubble up and it's trying to get your attention, you're going to have this inner critic saying, repeating the thing that you heard before. A lot of times, if you really pay attention to the inner critic, you've heard those exact words
Oh,
from a
yeah.
parent or a teacher. Yeah, I think you know what I mean. And
Yeah.
so that's the dynamic. So it does take a lot of bravery or courage to be able to get past that loud negative voice and venture into the unknown. But the thing is that there is so much waiting for you on the other side because that is who you were meant to be all along. And if you've been suppressing that gift, you may not know what your purpose is yet. You're probably drained of energy because it takes a lot of energy to hold something down, you know. So there's a lot of good, it's hard, it's scary, but once you start to venture out, the rewards start adding up.
Yeah, and it is true. I mean, our goal is to be free in life, free to choose who we want, free of negativity, and it just allows us to grow positively towards what we really are passionate or can become passionate about. Now, just going back to the book, I love how you weave music and exercises, talking about this negativity. It's so funny. Discovering who you are, you have a radio station, and
Oh
that's
yeah.
KCRP.
K crap. Yeah,
Hey, crap.
K crap is the inner critic.
Right. And
Yes.
that is, yeah. And it's the inner bully. It's again, teachers, friends, parents just really, really say no. But on the other hand, and again, you have song lyrics. It's so fun in here. There's an uplifting and positive radio station called K-Lift,
Right.
Liberation, Inspiration, Fun, and Thriving. So there's a lot of fun in the book, and your lyrics, I love those as well.
Oh,
They're
thank you.
spot on. Yeah, they're really spot on. Now, what made you bring in? I know you have stories, but you also bring in a lot of superheroes as guides. You know, the hero's journey about how we are stuck, we are blocked, things are challenging, but yet bringing in these role models that have overcome that we're all aware of, and they all have different tones. You know, Luke Skywalker, for overcoming who he was as a child, or Barbie, the perfectionism of having to look pretty all the time. There are so many fun things that are going on. What made you want to bring that in, as well as the radio stations?
So I love your questions, and thank you for actually reading my book. I
Oh,
am just sitting
yay.
here feeling so grateful for that.
Oh.
First of all, I am passionate about pop culture, and I feel like pop culture is a mirror for where we are as a human society. Even the movies that are coming out this summer, I just see them reflecting the plight that we're in right now.
Yay.
One of the reasons why I like superheroes in particular is because when I first started working with people and I would say, "Oh, you know, I think you have a gift for music," they would just look at me. But if I would say, "I think you have a superpower," like an eyebrow would arch, you know, and like they would suddenly they're engaged. Like if you call it a superpower, and I was using the word superpower before everybody started
Oh,
using that word.
yay. Good for you.
I know, thank
There's the
you.
wordsmith in
Yeah,
you.
it took me a while to finish the book, but it was, yeah, so that's part of it. But I love the idea too, like the superhero's journey is the superhero doesn't always know what their talents are yet, you know, and they're such good, easy to understand role models of, I mean, Clark Kent, all of a sudden he can see through, you know, he has X-ray vision. And he notices that. He didn't notice it right away. And then it, you know, maybe it even becomes too much after a while. Like he doesn't know how to control it. You know, if you really tell a good superhero story, you start to realize these powers didn't just come to them and they just started rocking them. They were very confused by them and they didn't know what to do with them. And then they would have more than one, which I think is very important because people often think that they only have one superpower and you have a lot. But I think it's a combination of just being able to tell a story about having dormant gifts that then get awakened. And then I like superheroes too because they have a positive mission in the world. I know they do a lot of maiming and beating up and stuff, but if you can get past that, they're trying to make the world a better place. And so I'm sort of trying to put, you know, kind of put the message out there, not don't just find your gifts, but use them well. Use them to do something good. And people react really well to that.
You also, talk about some of the more challenging superheroes, like Batman, who had a very dark family life, but was able to overcome that. So it's not all, hey, I've got a new superpower, let's move forward. There's some deep internal work to be done to understand that. And how to deal with that? How do we let go of that? How do we not let that control us in order to live out our unique abilities?
Exactly. I mean, and that's another reason, like, if you can see that Batman struggles with it, then it maybe becomes a little bit easier for you to struggle with it because you're not alone. And I know it's just a fictional character, but I mean, Batman is like it's in the zeitgeist, you know,
All
even though
built on
superheroes,
real life,
yeah, it is. And
many of
there may
us.
be superhero fatigue right now, but it comes and goes because they're always there. They're the backbone of our society in a weird kind of way. So if you can see somebody that you quote unquote admire go through difficult times and come out the other side, it gives you more hope, I think.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. Getting back to the question of, when finding your purpose, there's careers, there's calling, there's hobbies that you have. And in this book also, you talk a lot about creativity projects to kind of unleash and practice. As you said, you were practicing your creativity, and then you said, wow, I'm getting better at this. But what are those differences?
Differences between the
Calling, career, and hobby.
Okay, so well, a career is often something that somebody will do for status and money. And then a calling is something that someone would do really for free because it's so intrinsic to who they are. But they can also have status and make money, but they're different because one comes with the intrinsic values and the other one doesn't. And it turns out that only about a third of us answer our calling in a job. And so you could just like give up. Ugh, I'll never be able to do it. But the nice thing is if you find your calling, if your job is good enough, it's not sucking you dry and you like it, okay. If you find your calling, like for me, for a long time, I was a rock star on the side. You know, I was just playing in a little band, you know. And that gave me a lot of energy to come back to the work day. And there's even research at San Francisco State University that came out a few years ago that shows that if you do something creative outside of work and you come back to work the next day, you are more likely to succeed at work. You're going to be a better team player. You're going to get promoted more often because it gives you more energy. So you don't have to find it in the job, but you have to find it somewhere, you know? So that's why I want to dispel the need to. I mean, it worked out for me that I was able to make that leap and become a rock star for a while. Not everybody's going to be able to do it, but it's, you know what? It's so fulfilling even if you don't. It's worth it.
Exactly. We are creative people. That is our gift. And to suppress that, or to say, all I have time for in my life is my job, is quickly going to be, as you said, soul draining, soul crushing. So at least we can take steps to start on those, and to think of what our uniqueness would be, or to think again. I love how you go back in your childhood and you say, what was I good at, or what did I have fun with, or what did I really love doing as a child? Can I bring that forward and test that out now?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there was one guy, actually, he wasn't a client of mine. He was my hairstylist for a while
I
there, and he was
love
so
it.
good. He was so gifted. But when, you know, you talk to your hairstylist, right? You talk to them while they're doing it. And I learned from him that he used to braid his sister's hair when he was like just a young boy, while
Oh
they
my
were asleep.
gosh.
He was so into it. And his family wanted him to become an architect because there was a chance for him to get a scholarship. And he grew up in a poor Latino family. But he didn't follow what they wanted him to do. He became a hairstylist anyway, because it was there right from the beginning. And the nice thing is, here's the nice thing, because people might say, oh, you have to become the architect because you're going to make more money that way. He is like, I don't go to him anymore because I can't afford him.
Good for
So,
him.
yeah. So I
He
mean, I see
got
him every
so
once in a
good.
while. Hi. But yeah, so it's worth it.
Absolutely. And to that end, you also write, if you can remove all responsibilities, everything as a starting point, what would you do with your time? So it's great to think about that. And we are busy people. We watch too much TV. We get sucked into social media, too much alcohol, and that's a way that blocks us. But to start taking these steps towards, what would I do if I, didn't get sucked into an hour of social media each day? What would bring me passion? What would light my soul so I can find out my uniqueness.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I put creativity exercises in there, because I'm just trying to get people to show up. Like, just take 1 hour of your week and sit down and ask yourself, what did you used to love to do? Or what do you think you might like to do? Or, just try something. And I found with my clients, they don't necessarily figure it out right away. But if you keep
Right.
arriving and playing around with it and just have a sense of enjoyment and play, like, you don't have to nail it. It's not about nailing it, which is like corporate
That's
American
the
error.
last, yeah.
No, it's about just enjoying yourself and just seeing, because I creativity exercises are good because they use both sides of the brain. And I think, like a book just is words, it's the left hemisphere. Corporate America, leave half of yourself at the door because we don't want the fact that you play, soccer on the side or have a
Right.
singing career. We don't want to know that. But the funny thing is, so we leave it at the door. But the funny thing is those parts of us make up who we really are. And when we're able to bring all those different parts of ourselves together, we're actually better at work and in whatever we're doing, because we're bringing all of us, both sides of the brain to the table. But we live in a culture that leans to the left, and I don't mean
Yeah.
that, in politically. I mean it. We value logic. We
Yeah.
value doing things one thing at a time, and it's all about language. And there's nothing there for intuition or big picture thinking. And
Right.
that's the right hemisphere. You need it all.
Yeah, when we value productivity and everything like that, and we do that, but I value when people say something unique about themselves, or all of it's, hey, what'd you do over the weekend? And they may have done something really unusual that I didn't expect. And I'm like, right on, because I think we need more role models to say, I love building small miniature houses and decorating them. And what a great creative project that people can do about that. So, to get people rolling, you mentioned that we should ask ourselves a question. What does your calling feel like? And you say the answer is love. And yes, I know it's woo-woo, but what did you start there? What do you love? What do you love for a person, an animal, a place, a cause? What makes your heart sing? Because that's going to give you the courage. You're already passionate about it. I mean, maybe you want to work with animals. Maybe you love dog training. Maybe you want to start at the shelter and volunteering your time. And that just gives you so much energy and helps those animals. What
Yes.
else would you say about that?
Well, I just, asking yourself what makes that's what I asked my students, or suggested follow your heart, because again, we're so brain oriented. What does your heart want? Because I think when you lead with your heart, you're more likely to let yourself go into that territory that isn't accepted a little bit. Because the brain's turned off a little bit, the inner critic, the volume's dialed down a little bit, because now we're talking about the heart.
Yes.
And I just feel like, we know deep down inside what we're meant to be, who we're meant to be, and what we're meant to do. And one of the ways to peel away the layers is to let yourself feel more, because another thing about our culture is that we're supposed to get our feelings in check. You know what I mean? I mean, we can
Yes.
cry at a movie, but don't cry at work. But
Right.
those feelings are really telling you. I mean, Jungian psychology, for example, really values emotions. What are they telling you? They're actually giving you information to navigate your life with. If you are upset about something, there may be a very good reason for that, so I think tuning into your feelings again is kind of countercultural, but it will lead you right to who you are.
Exactly. And we're all about doing the best we can in this life and feeling the best we can. And when there's signals that say, if I could, if I would, or Monday rolls around and you're like, I just do not want to go to work. I want to do X, which is a great question. Instead of work, I mean, we all have to work and provide, but what would you do if Monday you could take off on a Monday? What would you spend your time doing, and how can you bring that into your real life? And I also, I really like the questions of where do you want to be in 5 years from now? Do you see yourself doing what you're doing now? Do you see yourself doing it, but spending every weekend at an antique fair, trolling for those lost treasures and then reselling them? What do you see yourself doing next week, next month? What creativity can you bring in your life so you can get the flow rolling?
Yeah, and I ask those questions. I know other books ask goal kind of oriented questions, but I set the reader up to be navigating from something deeper than just their heads at that point. So by the time they hit those questions, I think they're ready to have very honest answers to them. And also part of it is who are you hanging out with? Like who are your people?
Good
Who is your
question.
tribe? Because that'll tell you a lot, and it may not be the tribe that you're in right now. And that's okay. I mean, one of the questions that I ask to get people to understand who they might be is what makes you feel weird? And
I
that's,
like it.
And I worked with one woman, I'll just keep it very brief, but she was a tech writer in Silicon Valley, but she was very, I mean, she wore these loudly colored dresses. She wore bunny slippers to work. This
Oh
is
my
corporate America.
goodness, that's great.
Long blonde hair. I know. And she was like writing, like in the margins, she was writing ideas for scripts. And I just,
Goodness.
right? And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, you seem like an artist to me. She's a writer, but long story short, after working together, she found her right career in LA in entertainment, film, in making, writing scripts and producing and directing. So she had it in her, but it was marginalized writings. But you see, it's her, the tribe she was in Silicon Valley wasn't the right tribe. The entertainment tribe is right for it's now that tribe might be right for other people, but not for her. So it's a good way to kind of, it's a good kind of indicator. If you're in the right place.
And of course, your right tribe, you want to be supported. When you start taking those steps to say, I'm quitting a Silicon Valley job, which is incredibly lucrative, going into script writing, which takes a lot of time, but we only have one life. We want to live. What would you be doing? Like Mary Oliver says, and I'm paraphrasing, what would you do with this great, wonderful life that you're given? What can you do with that? So, you want that support, you want that community, as you write about, to have your back. When you fail to say, it'll come. They maybe weren't the right people. Anyways, to do this great movie, it'll come.
It makes, they, I think research shows you only need one other person who sees who you are. So you can start with just one other bestie. It doesn't have to be a whole
Good one.
tribe. But if they see who you are, it makes such a big difference in helping you have courage. And, the other thing I was just going to say, it takes perseverance too, because like in that example I just gave, she wrote five scripts for Disney before she finally, and they didn't, they took them all and then they didn't do anything with them. And then she finally decided, okay, I'm just going to shoot my own film. And so there's a perseverance, and just also that's when she really found herself is like, I'm just going to do this myself. She took a year off from work and she had some savings, and she said to us and herself, if this doesn't go well, I can just go back to my job.
Right.
But it did go well, so she didn't, and she moved to LA. So, you
Yay.
know.
Well, I've got a good way to find out if your bestie is part of your tribe or who's part of your tribe now, and that is, do you love my weirdness?
Yes,
And if
that's right.
yes, your weirdness is the best thing about you, then you're
Yes.
in the right place.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Michelle, if our listeners want to get a hold of you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, I have a couple of different websites, but I would say powerofauthenticity.org is a good place to start. And I also just want to mention powerofauthenticity.org. There are seven questions on the home page
Right.
that are designed to help you find your unique gifts, and you can download it too. So that's a great place to get started. And then I've got a website, michellechappell.com. And you can find out about my coaching and my music and my consulting and all those different things. But also, you can already find things that are going to help you figure out who you are right off the bat.
And that is the theme of your whole book, The Power of Authenticity, is really great questions, great exercises to make you think and start showing your true self to the world, which is great.
Oh, thank
Yeah.
you.
Oh,
Thank
yeah.
you.
Michelle, it's been wonderful having you on the show. I really appreciate your time and appreciate the book that you put out. That which is great. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Aw, thanks. All right, you take care.
You too.
All right. There we have it. All right, how did that go for you?
Wonderful. I just love the fact that you looked at my book. Oh my God.
Are
Thank you
you
so
kidding?
much.
Oh my
Oh, a lot of
gosh.
people
Wow.
don't. So I
And
just,
they interview you and they don't.
one person didn't even know I had a book. I'm like, wow. Oh, it
Yeah.
was a good interview, but it was
Yeah.
like yours was
Yeah.
great
Well,
because,
thank you.
yeah. And plus the conversational style, like I said, that I saw you do before. I mean, when I listened to another podcast of yours, I just like your style a lot.
Thank you so
Yeah.
much. We
Yeah.
flow well.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and thank you for having me on too.
Oh yeah. And again, thank you. The last minute you said book and you had no problem sending it to me. I always like to go a little deeper in my podcast if they have a book, if I've read it. So
Yeah.
that was my Sunday in addition to hiking and things, but it was so fun and playing a little music. I've got a gig next month and I play bass guitar and
You do? Oh, I didn't know
backup
that.
singing. Yeah. Pop
Oh, wow.
rock, all the favorites people can sing along with my band, and it's so fun.
Oh, good for
So,
you. I had no idea. That is so cool.
yay, I know. Lots of
Yeah.
different things, acupuncture. Podcasting, music, learned a few Talking Heads songs. It was fun, I know. Talk about a great bass play,
My gosh.
I know.
Yeah. Oh my
Very
God.
fun.
That is so
Yay.
cool.
Yeah.
Huh. We have a lot in common. I went on a hike this weekend
Oh,
too,
there we go.
Sunday.
And
I
where are you
like,
calling from?
oh, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Where are you?
Nice. San Francisco Bay
Oh,
Area.
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I used to live down there.
Marin. Yeah.
Yeah, Marin. Oh,
Wow,
it's lovely up there.
Portland, you are. Oh, how great. Yeah. Mostly?
It has
Okay.
pluses and minuses. I
Okay.
have to be honest, I miss California.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
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 Well, how great. You got to hike, and this is wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Well, you have a lovely day. Best wishes with the book.
Thank you.
And again, thank you for bringing out so many great things, both in the book and in this discussion.
Yeah, and thank you for asking good questions and just I like the way you are so present. Has anybody said that to you recently? It
Never.
makes a big difference. It makes a big
You
difference.
know, that is so great because that is my daily goal. I'm a meditator and studying Buddhist philosophy. I'm in a Buddhist philosophy class and
I'm a Buddhist.
meditation.
This is crazy.
This is no. We're both weird, thankfully. Yeah, but that is my goal, is to really be present in as many moments as I can in a day. So to hear it, that is just wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed it in the other podcast that I listened to also. I like to listen to podcasts before I'm on them, and I saw your rhythm too. And I saw
Right.
if somebody speaks faster than you, I like it to like match where you're at, because then which is what I did, because I can talk fast too. And I like that because then it just has like, I don't know, it just has such a smoothness to it, a flow. Like I think we were both in the moment a lot there. I like that. I think that's good for listeners, anyway, in my
And
opinion.
yeah, I think they connect with both of our presentness, and they get drawn in more. So, yeah. All right.
All
Well,
right. Well,
thank
thanks. It's
you.
been a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. For me. All right.
All
You have a
right.
great day. Okay, Michelle.
You too, Jody. All right.
Thanks. All
Bye.
right. Bye. I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people.